This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Coming up on today's show, the ins and outs of SEO, search engine optimization. First up, Maria Hinojosa. She's the anchor and executive producer of the long-running weekly NPR show, Latino USA. And the anchor of the talk show, Maria Hinojosa One-on-One, from WGBH La Plaza. She's also the founder of the Futuro Media Group, which she created to tell the stories that are overlooked or underreported by traditional media outlets. She'll be discussing Latinos and immigration, the U.S. Mambo, at this year's Women's City Club of Greater Cincinnati National Speakers Forum. And she joins us this afternoon, along with Women's City Club past president Susan Noonan and program chair Carol Donnelly. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, Maria and Susan and Carol. Thank you all for joining us today.
Thank you for having us.
Hello, hello.
Maria, what inspired you to become a journalist in the first place?
Well, I'm actually, as I'm speaking to you right now, I'm in Minneapolis, where I'm doing some reporting. And I grew up in Chicago, so I am a Midwestern girl. I was born in Mexico City, as was my entire family. But when I was growing up on the south side of Chicago, the interesting thing was that even though my family consumed the media all the time, I mean, my dad started subscribing to Time Magazine as soon as we got to this country. We were watching Meet the Press. We were watching CBS Sunday Morning. We were watching the evening news. We were listening to the radio. We understood that American journalism had an important value in a democratic society. And yet, we never saw ourselves reflected, ever. There were no stories about people who looked like me, or forget about just being a Mexican immigrant family. There were no stories about immigrant families in general. So that really created a sense of invisibility for me. And it made me think that I could never, in my wildest dreams, become a journalist. I never thought I was good enough to be an American journalist. That's how much I internalized kind of the invisibility. And it was only after my guidance counselor in college kind of forced me to apply for an internship at National Public Radio, and that I ended up there, and I realized that how much I loved it, that I said, okay, this is what I've got to do. And then I basically flipped the narrative from feeling invisible to understanding the extraordinary privilege that I had because of how I had grown up, because of the fact that I had gone to an amazing college and had an incredible education. And so from my invisibility, I flipped it into, I'm going to make this all about visibility. I'm going to turn the invisible into something visible. And that's essentially what has led me on this path of several decades now of this work.
So, Maria, you talk about visibility. Would you say that giving people a voice is one of the most important, but as you've indicated, often neglected roles of journalism?
Yeah, I do think it's that. I mean, the thing about journalism, right, is that it's so important to our lives, right? How many of us are learning, even if you're not an avid journalism consumer, you're catching it here and there. You're seeing the headlines on the papers. You're watching your Twitter feed. And so journalists have an extraordinary responsibility in our country. Yes, now to make the invisible visible, as we always have. But the truth is that our challenge as American journalists has increased, in particular just because of the sign of the times and because of the Trump administration and the way that they've dealt with the media and the way they talk about the media. So we have a very tall order. We have a lot of analysis that we need to be doing, a lot of investigative reporting that we need to be doing, a lot of, you know, Washington-based reporting that we need to be doing. On the other hand, you know, I'm on a series of reporting trips. We're on the ground. Last week I was on the ground in Omaha. I was in Denison, Iowa. This week I've been in Minneapolis. Next week I'll be, I'm not sure.
The life of a journalist.
But you know, my producer was actually saying, God, I feel bad that we're not up on what's happening in Washington at every moment. I said, yes, but we're doing this kind of boots on the ground journalism that puts us into understanding who we are as an American populace. So our role as journalists, our responsibility has just increased tenfold, if not a hundredfold. And I hope and believe that we'll be up to the challenge.
What's it been like, Maria, for you to be the anchor and executive producer of Latino USA and the host of your own talk show? You're talking about traveling all over the country. It just must be an incredibly busy schedule.
It is, but you know, I am so honored to be doing this work right now. It just feels like such an important moment. And I know we're going to be talking about immigration. Well, you know, I've been reporting on immigration the entirety of my career, which started in 1985 when I was an intern, in All Things Considered. And my very first story was about protests against the Immigration Reform Act, Immigration Reform and Control Act in 1985. So I understand that I have a role to play. I don't think that journalists or frankly, Latinas, we immediately look at ourselves as kind of leaders, but I understand that I have a voice and I have understood the importance of using that voice. And now the truth is that we just experienced a presidential campaign where Latinos, immigrants, specifically Mexicans, were mentioned, if not if many community members felt targeted. In terms of presidential campaigning, specifically by the Donald Trump campaign. So, yes, we have an important role to play. Here I am in Minneapolis, Minnesota. You know, there is a decades-long presence of Latino immigrants here in this community. We're not new arrivals to this country. And so Latino USA and the work that we do is basically saying, this is who we are. We are part of you, and you are part of us. And we are all in this together, as it were.
And before we went on the air, Maria, we could hear a conversation you were having where a couple of people popped up and said, oh, we know you. Can we get your picture with you? Do you get that reaction a lot?
Now more than ever. I mean, yes, I've been doing this for longer, so I understand that there's more visibility. But I feel like what's happened, well, one, we have some amazing news to report about Latino USA, which is that our PR grew by 45% in the last year. So we are very, very happy. I think that I actually call these people who stop me and say hello to me or thank me on the street, I call them my news angels. Because in many ways what they're saying is just, we see you, we hear you, and what you're doing is important. And you know, I'm not always out and about. I mean, oftentimes we're working in small teams. Yes, we do a lot of travel, but we need that response from our listeners and our viewers. It gives us energy. It lets me, like right now when we're here in this, you know, I'm not even sure what part of Minneapolis I'm in, but, you know, people saw me and they came and they wanted to take a picture. And I always make time because I understand. And what they just said was, thank you for all of your work and for giving us voice. And all I can say is in response is, you're welcome. And please continue to send me your ideas and the stories that we need to be covering. So it's a lot of mutual love and respect that I have for our listeners and our viewers. So I try to give it right back to them.
You're the founder of Futuro Media Group, which tells the stories that are overlooked or underreported by traditional media. What are some of those stories that are overlooked, underreported?
Wow. Well, let's see. We don't have all day. I mean, one of the things that so I'm just going to give you an example of the story that we're working on now here in Minneapolis. We drove 2 hours west of Minneapolis, deep into Minnesota, into a community yesterday where we were given a tour by a Mexican immigrant woman who's kind of a community organizer, who lives in a housing complex with many Somali immigrants and refugees as her neighbors. And you know, this notion of a Mexican immigrant woman breaking bread and finding common ground with her Somali American neighbors is a beautiful untold story that I had never seen. You know, she did say, by the way, because it's not always pretty, you know, she did say, look, many people in my community, in our community, tend to have some, you know, racist perceptions of people from Africa and black people. So it's not always pretty, right? It's complicated. And even in the revelation of that kind of tension, I feel like it is part of the untold story of America. You know, last week we were in Denison, Iowa, which is part of Representative Steve King's district. Steve King being the one who said recently that something to the effect that white America needed to keep reproducing in order to keep Western civilization positive and growing. Well, his district is 40% Latino. 40% Latino district in Steve King's congressional district in Iowa. And I went there thinking that there was going to be tension in terms of, you know, the Latino population and are they accepted? And frankly, the people looked at me and said, that was a story 30 years ago. This is who we are now. We are a 40% Latino community here in Denison, Iowa. So the number of stories, the complexity, the beauty, I mean, the story that Latino USA put on last week, which had nothing to do with politics, was our own visit to the Tucson Rodeo, which is 100 years old. And by the way, the official name of the Tucson Rodeo is La Fiesta de los Vaqueros. Vaqueros being the original cowboys that came from northern Mexico. So there's just a beauty of, in our country, if we're open to it, of flipping pages in a book and saying, oh my God, this is so amazing. That's how I feel about every day that I'm out doing my job.
You talked about the district that Steve King represents being 40% Latino. Is that one of the overlooked, underreported stories, the demographic change that's going on in the U.S.?
Well, I would say that it is becoming more of a story. I mean, when I created Futuro Media Group exactly 7 years ago, and I wanted to tell these stories of a lot of demographic change, I do think that people kind of were like, what? They weren't really in tune with that, even though I was looking at the 2010 census. Now there is a much bigger conversation about what demographic change means. And in my view, you know, I represent myself and my family. I was born in Mexico. I became an American citizen. I represent that demographic change. So I am not afraid of demographic change. I am not afraid of the fact that our country is becoming increasingly diverse at every turn. So that's how we approach the stories of demographic change. I do feel that much of the narrative in the mainstream media, which, by the way, is not diverse in terms of the newsrooms that are making decisions about these stories. So a lot of the demographic change is perceived as something that is frightening, that is scary, that is zero sum, that if there is more diversity, that means that, you know, Anglo-America is somehow going to lose in the process. And actually, you know, economics, in terms of economics, this will, you know, the rising tide of more immigrants, legal and undocumented, will create economic gains across the board. And we know this not because I'm making it up or because I wish it to be so, but because that's what the data says. So the way in which we talk about demographic change to me is important. Not just that we talk about it, but the way in which we talk about the real benefits and the real challenges, by the way. I'm not Pollyanna. I don't believe that this is all going to be fabulous and wonderful and we're all going to, you know, be together at the end of the rainbow. We have got real challenges and it's going to get more complicated. But that's the kind of delicious part of democracy that I just love.
We will continue our conversation. You can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Maria Hinojosa will be discussing Latinos and Immigration, the U.S. Mambo, at this year's Women's City Club of Greater Cincinnati National Speakers Forum. She joins us this afternoon along with Women's City Club past president Susan Noonan and program chair Carol Donnelly. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Susan and Carol, before we continue, continue talking to Maria, I wanted to get some background about the Woman's Club tell us, it just reached 100 years a few years ago.
The Woman's City Club is 103 years old.
103 years old now.
Yes.
So it was back in 2015, I think you hit your 100th.
Yes. We're a civic organization. We're very interested and involved in social justice issues. And we provide free monthly programs to the community to educate, engage, and empower them to be able to participate in promoting the common good in Cincinnati. We've done a program this year already on immigration, and we are so excited to have you, Maria, because you hit the nail on the head when you said how important it is for the media to get the truth out. And we understand that's what you're trying to do, and this investigative reporting is so important. So we're thrilled to have you coming to Cincinnati on April 20th. And Carol Women's City Club, by the way, has been doing this for so long. We're called the Club of Perseverance, and for a bunch of women who really care about our community and the people who live there, and diversity and inclusion is so important to us.
And this event is not quite as old as Women's City Club, but this will be our 24th, so we're quite excited. And Maria, we're just thrilled to be having you come next week. So I just want to let everybody know that we will be having Maria will be speaking next Thursday, April 20th, at the Netherland Hilton Hall of Mirrors. The program will start at 7 in the evening. For tickets, you can call 513-751-0100, or you could get them online at womanscityclub.org.
And we have both at your website and your phone number at WVXU.org as well.
Oh,
so you can look it up there, too.
Look it up there. That's great. Great.
Maria, tell us a little bit more. The topic is Latinos and Immigration, the U.S. Mambo. So give us a preview of your message, if you would.
Well, I used to say that the U.S. Mambo, it's our relationship, this country's relationship to Latinos and Latinas, is a U.S. Mambo where we would go three steps forward and two steps back. And I basically was saying that, using that line up until about a year ago. Actually, it was more or less, it changed right around when Donald Trump announced his candidacy. And a lot of the anti-immigrant, anti-Mexican, anti-Latino stuff started kind of bubbling up. So now I say the U.S. Mambo is three steps forward, 67 steps back.
Whoa.
Yes, and this is a very difficult dance to do because, as a journalist, frankly, it is difficult to report about something when you feel like you're regressing. Like, we understand progress, it's slow, but you're taking slow steps, it's difficult, it's painful. It is a challenge to suddenly find yourself where we are, in fact, going backwards in terms of the perception and the attitudes and the actions. On a daily basis, immigrants, Latinos and Latinas, and others, by the way, the fastest growing group of deported undocumented people are South Asian and Asian. So we have to be clear that this is not just a Latino-Latina story. But people who were not born in this country, who have a green card or who are undocumented and in some way come in contact with law enforcement, are often being denied due process on a daily basis. When you are taken by immigration agents, you don't have your Miranda rights read to you. You don't have access to a lawyer. You don't have access by law to a phone call. We have people being held in our country right now who have no idea why they're being held, where they're being held sometimes, how long they're going to be held. And this is important for us. Not, you know, as many people say, oh, Maria, you like to tell these stories because you're a Mexican immigrant. And I say, you know what? Yes, in part, but really I like to tell these stories and feel these stories are important to be told because I'm an American citizen. What does it mean to all of us that there are people in our country whose only difference between them and you is that they were not born in this country and that somehow that allows for a violation of basic due process? So that's of concern to me. It's of great concern to me that as I'm reporting out on the street, that every community where I go to where there is a large immigrant presence, Latino or not, that there is tremendous fear, like in Wilmer, Minnesota, where I was yesterday, where people are just like, we're too afraid to come out. I had a woman run away from my microphone yesterday in a restaurant, literally. So the fear that we are living through is something that, as I say, those people are living it, and we, as we say in Spanish, en carne propia. They're living it with their own skin. But we have to tell the stories of what this looks like, because this is about all of us. It's not just about them and what they're experiencing. It's about all of us and how we feel about what's going on in our country.
And we can resonate with that here in Cincinnati, because we have a high-profile family where the mother is being deported and is actually out of the city now, and the faith community is behind getting her back with her family, all the others of whom are American citizens, and so far they've gotten nowhere, and she anticipates being deported.
That's the case out of Butler County.
Butler County, the mother of four children.
Yeah. Yeah, and the 6th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals just made this decision yesterday.
That's right, yeah. Yeah. So what you're going to be talking about really is resonating with all of us here.
And if there is a little bit of a silver lining to what feels like some thunderous lightning and clouds on top of us, it is that there feels like there's a greater interest across the board to knowing and understanding. And so I'm approaching that with a tremendous amount of hope and openness.
And Maria, you talked about 67 steps backward, and you're indicating you've got some optimism here and some hope. What other bright spots do you see, though? I mean, are there things that are happening that show that we're on the right track, or is immigration always going to be this contentious issue that never gets resolved?
Oh, my God, let's hope not. I can't believe you said that. That would just be terrible.
That would be terrible, but it would be.
Yes, it would be. And I remember when Robert Reich, when I interviewed him in 2010, actually, and he said, you know, we probably won't be able to get immigration reform until 2017. And I just said, oh, my God, that's so far away. I don't know what is the status or the future of immigration reform, whatever that may be. The bright spots for me are that, again, because I'm out reporting, yesterday I was at a community meeting with people, Latinos, owning their voice in the town of Wilmer, Minnesota. I'm here reporting right about as soon as I get off the phone with you to go interview the first Latina who was elected to the city council in Minneapolis. I see my students every Thursday morning when I'm teaching, except for when I'll be with you. I see all of my students on Thursday mornings at DePaul University in Chicago. This quarter, all of my students are Latino, Latina. They are there through thick and thin, in the rain, in the sleet, in the snow, in the freezing. They're exhausted, but they are there. I have 5 students who have said to me that they are planning on running sometime in the future. And, you know, I think one of you said, like, the women's club is kind of the club that never gives up. Well, I call myself, the women who I know, you know, the queens of never giving up. And that's what we do. We just don't give up. We're not going to go away. We understand that we represent family. We represent so much of the values of our community. And so we're going to keep doing this. And these, to me, are truly American values of deep engagement across all aspects of our democracy.
You are going to be introduced by the first Latino judge in the state of Ohio.
That's exciting. I'm very much looking forward to going back to Ohio, where I was just about a year ago reporting for PBS. So I'm very excited to be going back.
And Carol, one more time, give us the details of Maria's upcoming.
Okay, it's next Thursday.
Next Thursday.
April 20th at the Hall of Mirrors, Netherland Hilton Hotel downtown. And you can get tickets by calling 751-0100. And the tickets are $40. You can also get tickets online at womancityclub.org. And as Pete mentioned, it will be on the on their website. So that would be WVXU's website. So
you can find more information at WVXU.org. Yep.
Exactly, yeah.
Maria and Susan and Carol, thank you. We appreciate you joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having us.
See you soon and see you later, everyone.
Yeah, yes,
we're looking forward to it.
Maria Hinojosa, she's anchor and executive producer of the long-running weekly NPR show Latino USA and anchor of the talk show Maria Hinojosa One-on-One. She's also the founder of the Futuro Media Group. And again, she'll be in Cincinnati speaking at the Women's City Club National Speakers Forum on Thursday, April 20th.